Welcome back. We're talking about juries, and we're here talking about the hush money trial involving Donald Trump. It just completed its 11th day last week. Trump has entered a not guilty plea to 34 felony counts of falsifying business records. Unfortunately, in my view, there are no cameras in the courtroom, and so we're not able to watch the ongoing proceedings and gauge how the jury is receiving this evidence. I'm curious, is this a case that is so polarized that Trump can't get a fair trial? And if there's a supporter on the jury, can there ever be a conviction? With us to talk about jury selection and jurors in general is David Zahner, founder of Zahner Trial Consulting, based here in Chicago. He and his wife, a man and wife team, have helped lawyers in jury selections, mock trials, and witness preparation for over 1,000 cases in almost every state in the country. Welcome, Dave. Good to see you.
Thanks so much for having me, Karen. Good to see you.
Good to see you. So, what do we know so far about the jury? I mean, you're not in the courtroom. You're obviously doing work in your own cases. But what generally do we know about the jurors who were selected?
There's a lot that's known about the jurors because they did release to the media parts of their questionnaires that they filled out in advance. We know, not surprisingly for Manhattan, it is a very educated jury. You have a couple people involved in the legal field, one lawyer, some people in finance. So it's a very and it's a relatively diverse jury. While we don't know the exact age or racial components of the jury, we do know just from their questionnaires that people from all around Manhattan in a very mixed group of people.
It's interesting that there's a lawyer on the jury, and I know you and I have talked about this. I had a jury once where I had two lawyers on the jury, and you know, I've always wondered, should lawyers be allowed to serve on juries, and also judges get to serve on juries, and you know, is it possible that a lawyer on a jury is not going to be the foreperson? You know, does it? Have you ever thought of that issue? If that makes sense, that can a lawyer really just judge the facts and not look at the law?
I do think that lawyers can judge the facts and not look at the law because lawyers always specialize. And a lot of times the facts of the case that they're hearing about are different than what they do every day. Unfortunately for them, the other jurors think they're an expert. So when you put an attorney on the jury, we always say, well, you're creating a jury of one. Because whichever way the attorney goes is likely to be what the group is going to go. I do think that's different in this case. In a high-profile case like this, I think everyone's going to develop their own specific opinions, and they're not going to be swayed by an appeal to authority, such as an attorney saying, well, I know the law better than you do.
Interesting. So is it possible, do you think, to weed out jurors who have a polarized view of Trump? So I'm talking about people that are saying, you know, in their head, maybe not out loud, there's no way I could ever convict this guy. And on the other side, there's no way I'm going to let this guy walk because I think he's the devil incarnate. You know, so do you think that this judge was able to weed out people on the voir dire during the voir dire process?
Judges are really good at understanding who are the kind of people who really can't be fair, who have already prejudged their what's going to happen. And I do believe that in this case, they did get out those types of jurors. The problem is every juror has inherent biases that they're not even aware of. And so even though they're sane and they truly believe that they can be fair, it's difficult for them to know what's really going on in their heads because everybody, even the people on the jury who said they had no views of Donald Trump, have to have a view of him because just by how well known he's been and how much he's been in the public eye, I mean, his entire life.
So is it, in your experience in helping with the selection of jurors, do you find that jurors lie to get on the jury? And if they do, what are the reasons that they would lie? And again, like you're talking about people who maybe don't recognize their prejudices, and so they're not lying, but they're maybe just shading things or denying that they really have a strong feeling about something. I'm talking about people who actually have really strong feelings, knowing that they deny it.
Yeah, it's jurors in general do not lie because it's very hard for them to be in front of a judge and in front of a large group of people and make completely inaccurate statements. They just don't. What they do, unfortunately, is they selectively forget things. When I was working on the George Ryan trial several years ago, two jurors denied having criminal convictions, and obviously that's something they probably remembered. Did they intentionally leave that off? No, probably not. They probably just and the time they thought it wasn't relevant and decided not to bring it up. So jurors tend not to lie, but they do selectively forget things that get they remember as the trial goes on that might have been relevant when the jury was being picked in the first place.
Now, you told me over dinner a few nights ago that Donald Trump does, in fact, have a jury consultant. I've been Googling that. I've been having a hard time really determining that. And you happen to know who she is. Is that right?
Yeah. I believe it was reported in the news that Jo Ellen Demetrius was helping on her case. She's a very well-known jury consultant. One of her first really prominent cases was when she helped pick the jury for O.J. Simpson in his murder trial.
Ah, she did a good job on that one.
Yes, I think she's pretty happy with that result.
Yes. Let's take a break. And when we come back, if you have any questions for Dave about jury selection or anything else, give us a call here, 312-981-7200, or text. And we'll be taking your legal questions into the next half an hour. But right now we're talking to David Zahner, who is a jury consultant expert and Zahner Trial Consulting. You'll be back in a minute. And of course, that's from 12 Angry Men. Oh, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in this jury trial, when they go into deliberations. You can just imagine. I'm here with Dave Zahner. He is a jury consultant with Zahner Trial Consulting. Dave, why don't you give out your contact information? We do have lawyers who listen to the show. Dave has been doing this for a long time with his wife. He's very well known. He does it all over the country for civil cases and criminal cases. How would people get in touch with you?
Sure. Best way to get in touch is we have a website, www.zahnerjuries.com, ZEHNERjuries.com, or Dave@ZahnerJuries.com. Either one of those are a great way to get a hold of me.
So you were saying that the one thing that jurors do lie about is criminal convictions. And, we were just talking about this. It seems to me that if you're sitting there with a crowd of other jurors and you got lawyers there and you got the judge there and someone asks you if you have a criminal conviction, that might be a little embarrassing that you, had that indecent exposure case when you were in college or whatever it is. So what's the solution to that? Because obviously that's an important question and an important answer.
Yeah, the solution, and this is what most judges do, and it is, again, it's not that jurors are intentionally lying a lot most of the time. It's that they either have forgotten about it or put it out of their minds because they don't want to think about it, or, like you said, they're embarrassed about the answer. And the way to solve that is the judges have to make very clear up front. You say, if there's anything that you don't want to say in an open court, please let us know. We'll bring you back, and we'll be happy to talk to you. I had that happen to me just recently. I was brought in for jury duty, and I had to talk to the judge in private to explain to him that two of my clients were some of the lawyers that were trying this case, and I didn't think that should be something the entire jury should hear. I was out of there in 5 minutes. It was everyone was looking at me. What did he say to get out?
Right. I want what he said. Yeah. So now, if Trump's jury consultant, you said, is a very good jury consultant, which was O.J. Simpson's jury consultant, is sitting there in court and watching what's going on, watching the proceedings, listening to the testimony, what are you doing as a jury consultant when you're looking at the jurors? What are you looking for?
The main thing a jury consultant will do is they've conducted multiple exercises to determine what characteristics of people are going to be problematic for his defense. And they're looking for those characteristics, whatever it is that they have determined from their research are the kinds of things that will make someone more likely to convict him. It may be levels of education. It may be political views. I mean, obviously, they're not going to want people who are strongly anti-Trump on the jury, as they're going to have a certain bias in how they review things. But also they're looking for people who are willing to avoid prejudging the case. People have an open mind. That's why you end up with an attorney on the case, because attorneys are trained to look at both sides of an issue. The standard playbook for a white-collar criminal defendant is to have educated jurors who are willing to look past the just what the prosecution says happened and evaluate the facts for themselves. And that's basically the kind of jury that the defense was looking to pick. However, in this case, I believe that the prosecution was looking for very similar types of jurors. They also, because they believe they have a strong case and they think if someone understands the nuances of the law and the evidence, that they will convict. So this is a case where you had both sides picking similar types of jurors, and as a result, one side is going to find out that they were incorrect in their evaluation.
Do you have confidence in jurors and in their ability to be fair and how seriously they take their job?
Yes, I have a lot of confidence in jurors. We do a lot of interviewing of jurors afterwards, and all of them understand, even in a small case involving maybe tens of thousands of dollars, they all realize it impacts the lives of the people involved, both the plaintiff and the defense, or the defendants, or the criminal justice system, and they take their jobs very seriously. And very rarely do I hear people say they had a bad experience. And when they had a bad experience, it's because everyone was taking the job so seriously, it was incredibly stressful for them. And the stress of having to make decisions like that were what they did not like about it. I've almost never heard of, now, with the rare exception of jurors who sleep through trials, which does happen, but for the most part, all the jurors take it very seriously. And I really do truly believe that jurors in general get it right at the end of the day.
I do too. You know, I've always said this. I used to do a lot of jury work, now not so much because I'm in family law. And I think Texas has juries for divorce, which would be really interesting, but that's aside. No, I would rather have 12 people who don't know each other from all walks of life than one judge who may have a preconceived notion one way or the other. And when you have people back there deliberating, they change each other's minds. Now, is part of your analysis when you're looking at jurors, who are going to be the people who have really strong will? Because as you probably know from experience, you know, let's just say it's 12, you know, it's 11 to 1 to convict. And then all of a sudden there's an acquittal because, you know, someone changes everyone's mind. How important is a person's will and a person's persuasive abilities?
Yeah, one of the key things that the defense is looking for in a criminal trial, they're looking for what we call individualistic oddballs, people who would actually hang a jury. You played the clip from 12 Angry Men, and a lot of times when I talk, I say 12 Angry Men is a great movie, but it almost never happens in real life. It's very hard for one person to stand up to 11 other people who they've been sitting with and getting to know for several weeks and tell them, you're all wrong, I'm right. Even though that's what defendants are often looking for, because they're hoping to get a hung jury. And I think in this case, the defense is really playing for a hung jury. They're hoping they've put on one or two people onto the jury who are going to hold to their convictions that they don't think the prosecution has proven their case.
And then there's a retrial.
Well, I think it would be difficult. There could be a retrial. I think if there's a hung jury, if it was 11 to 1, yeah, they'd probably do a retrial. Although events may overtake everything here.
Yeah, right.
I doubt if the election, if Donald Trump is reelected, I there would definitely not be a retrial while he was president. It would have to wait till after his term is served out. And I doubt there'd be much will at that point to do a retrial. That would be the earliest it could be done.
I think the jurors must all know that this is a historic trial, the first time a former president has been on trial, and that the outcome could affect who is the leader of the free world. That's a lot of responsibility.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure on people who go about their day every day. And, you know, I always say that about death penalty jurors. I mean, you know, not to mention seeing horrible crime scene pictures that you can't unsee, but you're actually making a decision about whether someone lives or dies. That is a huge, awesome responsibility. And how do you think that responsibility and the weight on the shoulders of these jurors is affecting how they're viewing the evidence?
I think they already were taking the case very seriously. And I do think that it emphasizes for them that they want to make sure they get this right. So you're going to see a jury, when they eventually do get to the point where they deliberate, it is going to be a very long deliberation process. They're going to spend several days or weeks deliberating, because they're going to want to make sure everyone's views are heard. There's going to be multiple counts that they have to make decisions on, and they're going to want to make sure they get it right. And I think all juries try and get it right, but I think this jury especially knows that they don't want to do anything that's going to be held up as a sign of a problem with the jury system or a problem with the justice system. And so they're going to make sure they take the deliberative effort to make sure that they make the correct decisions as they see it based on the evidence in the case.
And I would imagine they know they're going to be questioned perhaps afterwards, and they're going to want to be able to justify their decision with certain facts and certain, you know, bullet points. And depending on how well they get along, you know, they might all do that in together, right?
Yeah,
you know?
My guess, this is going to be a very cohesive jury that's going to get along very well. They're together for so long, and they all have the common pressures of the weight of this case on them, and that generally creates a bonding experience. I have lots of times my jurors in cases that went on for several weeks, they'd have a dinner afterwards to celebrate the end of the trial,
right,
or something, and they keep in touch.
Yeah, some of them have reunions.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. So Trump is on trial for it's a simple case, but it's not. The allegations are that he falsified business records to hide that reimbursement of the hush money. But we've seen lots of testimony. The National Enquirer guy, the lawyers for Stormy Daniels, and all of these people are testifying. Do you think that the prosecution is making this case too complicated for what it really is?
No, I don't. I mean, one of the advantages of a jury that's very educated and very technical, as they have here, is you can, and the amount of time they have to tell their story, you can have a complicated case and then break it down into the simple points. And I do believe the prosecution is making a simple case here, even though there's a lot of complexities to the actual counts. And the simple case is he made a payment and he did it to influence the election. All of the witnesses over the last few days have been focused on the fact that it was time sensitive because of the Access Hollywood tape, and that it had to get done right away because of the influence that another revelation might have at that time. And after the election was over, a lot of the non-disclosures were let out. Karen McDougal was let out of her non-disclosure agreement, and there was a lot lessening of the pressure here. So that the prosecution believes that they have a simple story of creating illegal business records in an attempt to influence the election. And that's what they're going to focus on. They're going to say, you can ignore all the other complexities. If you believe those two things, you should convict on all counts.
We only have a few minutes, and can you stay with us another segment, Dave?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that, and then I will get to your calls, 312-981-7200, and on the other side of the news, if you want to start calling in or texting, you can do that so I can get right to them. But I just wanted to ask you, the jury is hearing a lot of tawdry things about sex with porn stars and deals being made, even the whole stuff with the National Enquirer, buying up stories and hiding them and, making up stories about Donald Trump's, opponents, especially the one about Ted Cruz's father being at the assassination for Kennedy. I mean, I think we should all be looking at that National Enquirer and thinking, why are we reading this thing? But how do you think the jury is receiving, we only have a minute, is receiving this kind of tawdry stuff? Is the prosecution kind of dwelling it on a purpose to kind of dirty him up, or is it really necessary here?
I think they're probably ignoring it. Every time I interview a jury with these kinds of sensationalistic aspects, they say, we ignored all that and we looked at the actual facts of the case and how it related to the law. And I think the prosecution actually is kind of downplaying the more tawdry aspects, other than just bringing up, it's the defense that's generally bringing up there's been multiple other individuals who have had these kinds of stories and issues to try and say this is more commonplace. I think the jurors in general are going to pretty much ignore a lot of the sensationalistic aspects of the case.
Really? And what do you base that on? Because it just seems to me that, you're looking at Donald Trump and he's a president and he's, having affairs and doing all this. And of course, that he's not the first president who had affairs. Right. But is that just they're just focusing on the facts that they need? Is that what you think?
Exactly. It's a way to justify their decisions. They'll say, we didn't let things like that sway us. We focused on the facts that were important to in determining whether or not a violation of the law occurred. And I've interviewed jurors so many times in cases where there were sensationalistic aspects that people thought were the most important part, and the jurors all said, no, that wasn't important to us at all. Instead, here's what was actually important to us, and here's what we made our decisions on. And I think this juror will be very similar.
That's a tribute to them, because they're sifting out what's relevant and not relevant, and that's a very good thing. We're here with Dave Zahner Trial Consultants, and when we come back, we're going to be continuing to talk about jury selection. If you have a question or comment, 312-981-7200 on WGN. Welcome back. We're here with Dave Zahner. He's a trial consultant, and we're talking about the Trump hush money trial and jurors. Karen, I remember, this is coming from the 847 area code, I remember being in a jury pool, and during questioning, one of the jurors was asked if she weighs a police officer's testimony higher than someone not in law enforcement. She responded yes. She had higher regard for an officer's testimony, and the judge apparently admonished her to the point of being chastised. I remember other jurors sitting around whispering, now we know the wrong answer and how to get excused. Does that happen when you see a judge become angry or is trying to refocus the juror? And does that give jurors the idea of what to do to get excused?
What we see all the time is judges trying to rehabilitate jurors when they give answers that actually would have them excused for what's called cause. So if a juror strongly believes that they would believe the testimony of a police officer more than any other witness, they can't be on the jury because the law does not allow you to vet. You have to take all pieces of evidence equally and then make determinations about the credibility. You can't come in with a pre-existing view over whose testimony is more important. So what the judge will try and do is say, I'm going to instruct you on the law, and I'm going to tell you that you're not allowed to do that. Would you still have that view even if I instructed you, and would you still follow those views? And most jurors will say, no, Your Honor, now that I understand the law, I would follow the law. A few people will say no. Some people will say, no, I would always feel that way, no matter what you instructed me, and I'd have to follow my beliefs over the law. And that does sometimes get judges a little irritated because they don't like people saying they're not going to follow the law.
Right.
However, they also – most judges understand that if someone really truly believes that, then that is someone who really should not be a juror on that particular case.
Exactly. So Donald Trump is sitting in court, and if you were a jury consultant here, Dave, would you be looking at – how the jurors are looking at Trump? You know, he's got that scowl on his face. You know, there were, you know, allegations, I guess, that he was sleeping or closing his eyes, as he says at trial. What do you think the jury can make of those kinds of things? And how would you school your client in a case like this?
Yeah, whenever we have clients who are going to be in the focus of the jurors for a long period of time, we tell them, remember, the jurors are watching you always. They're looking at everything you do, and they understand why you're there, but they also understand that they're there also. And the signs of disrespect or dislike of the process that he's been exhibiting, jurors are going to be very upset about for the most part. We have seen that when that's happened at trial, we strongly recommend our clients to avoid any outward expressions of anger or distrust or dislike of the process, because the jurors will pick up on that, and they generally will hold that against the person who expresses those views. That could possibly be why he's closing his eyes for lots of this, is because that's probably the best they could do in terms of getting him to hold back by saying, just close your eyes and ignore it. And that's probably the best he could do, given that fact he's never had to do this in his life, sit somewhere for 8 hours where he's not in control of the situation. We have this happen all the time with business executives we work with. They're so used to being in control of their own schedule and what they can do and where they go, and it's very hard for them to give up that control. And in the courtroom, you have no control.
And, you know, the sleeping part or the eyes closed part, you know, I would just think, hey, you know what? We have to stay awake during this testimony. We're not used to listening to people talk on end 8 hours a day, and we're away from our children and our families and our jobs. You know, open your eyes, because you're the defendant.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's kind of how I would think, but anyway, yeah. So let's talk about Trump testifying. I think your position is that there's no way he's
testifying. It'll never happen.
Tell our listeners why it will never happen.
He is open to so many questions about so many issues that if he would speak on them, would open him up to other prosecutions and other issues. And
can you give us an example?
For example, this is a case about election interference, and so he could potentially be cross-examined about any of his actions on January 6th, for which he has another criminal trial coming up, and in order to avoid getting himself in trouble in that case, because anything he says in this case can be used as evidence in his other cases. And so he would have to then plead the Fifth Amendment. And pleading the Fifth Amendment is not a good thing to do while you're testifying. And he is not going to put himself in the position where he can be asked questions that he has to answer. No lawyer would consider that to be a good idea, to put him in the situation where he have to answer questions about issues that he's not going to be able to answer. It almost never happens where a criminal defendant testifies, and that's the reason, is because the cross-examination is so withering. The case becomes specifically about what they answer on cross-examination, and almost no defendant can hold up to a cross-examination by an experienced prosecutor, which is what almost always happens in these cases. When defendants put themselves on, it almost always results in a conviction.
And I suppose the only exception to that and not always the exception is that if you've got someone with no criminal record, no civil, you know, no bad acts in the past that are going to be brought up, and the jury is going to want and need an explanation of why something happened, and it, just rarely you see that work.
Yeah, Kyle Rittenhouse is a great example of that.
That's because he had to explain what was going through his head when he pulled the trigger.
And because of his relative young age and lack of experience, that came through the jurors. And it's interesting, Donald Trump's jury consultant was also the consultant on that case.
And they
tested out his testimony and showed that his testimony was instrumental in jurors understanding why he was not guilty of the crimes he was charged.
Now, O.J. Simpson just passed a while ago, and you know, I was asked, and I'm sure you're being asked, how did O.J. Simpson change the criminal justice system? And I've talked a little bit about domestic violence and how routine police calls where nothing was done are completely different now. And how, from a jury consultant standpoint, how are jurors different and how is the selection process different?
Well, obviously, from a very selfish point of view, the O.J. Simpson trial was kind of the dawn of the jury consulting era. It was the first time when there was a very high-profile example of jury consultants being used by both sides, and it's kind of created the industry as an understanding that this is how the industry can be used. This is what you can do to help make sure that you eliminate jurors who have biases against your client during the jury selection process. So I think what's happened since OJ is there's a realization that if you're going to try a case, you can't win a case in jury selection, but you can lose a case in jury selection. If you let on jurors who are predisposed against your case, they're not going to hear the evidence that's being put on, and you're not going to be able to get a correct result.
Do most of your lawyer clients listen to your suggestions?
Yes. Actually, the reason they're hiring us is because they're looking for help. Nobody likes the unknown of human decision making. And what we try and do is reduce the complexities involved in what's going on and break it down to a few things. Here are a few certain life experiences that people have that if they have these experiences, they're probably not going to be able to be fair in your case. Find those out, eliminate them from the jury using your peremptory challenges, and that way you have a chance of getting your case across and getting a fair outcome.
David Zahner, thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell our listeners, some of whom are lawyers, where they can contact you and hire your fabulous services?
Sure. Contact me at dave@zahnerjuries, ZahnerJuries.com, and you can look at our website, www.zahnerjuries.com.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks again, Carrie.